Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
I don't know about you, but Big 12 football is going to kill me. It really is. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12 Conference. Thanks you for being a part of it here as we roll through another show. That was an absolutely insane non-conference Saturday across this conference. You know, it's one thing when you're in conference play, right, where you've got this year it'll be 8 games, but in the past it was 5, 6, 7 games. But now, you know, you've got 15 games on the schedule, and half of them, it seems like, gave me a heart attack this weekend. My goodness. Thanks for being here. If you're not yet subscribed to the show, please do that on YouTube, iTunes, or Spotify. Leave us that rating and review. We greatly appreciate you doing that, and hit that thumbs up as well if you are on the YouTube channel. So what a weekend it was in the Big 12, and here's what I said earlier in the week. I said there were 10 key games for the Big 12 that were FBS games that mattered when it came to perception of this conference. I said the Big 12 would sign up for 6-4 in these 10 games in a heartbeat, but that 5-5 would get the job done. And that's what the Big 12 did. They went 5-5, no harm, no foul, didn't help their case tremendously, didn't hurt their case in a big way necessarily. They just kind of broke even. Now, it was dicey there for a little bit, and we'll get through all these games here coming up, but it was dicey. The 11 a.m. games were absolutely nuts. So let's get right to it. The 11 a.m. games, it looked like Kansas State and Oklahoma State were well on their way to a loss, while Cincinnati was rolling Pittsburgh. What ends up happening? Cincinnati blows a 20-plus point lead against Pittsburgh, and then K-State comes from 10 points down to beat Tulane, and Oklahoma State rallies from a couple of touchdowns down early to beat Arkansas. Now, first off, I'll say this. Oklahoma State and Arkansas arguably both deserved to lose that game. That was a hideous game in so many respects, but it was also vintage college football. Why? Because Oklahoma State was down 14. They were 7 to 7.5 point favorites. Only in college football does Oklahoma State play a game like that and somehow figure out a way to cover the spread. But that's exactly what you got in this league and in this game in particular. So this was huge because of the Big 12 had started off the day with one of its favorites to win the conference, losing to a perceived SEC bottom feeder. Forget it. The SEC fanboys would have had a field day, and they would have had a right to have a field day. But thankfully, Mike Gundy's team rallied. And this is what the Cardiac Cowboys do under Mike Gundy. He somehow, some way, kind of likes falling behind at times and pulling a rabbit out of a hat. But when you look back on this game, to me, yes, there are controversial calls. There was the offsides call at the end of regulation, or what should have been an offsides call, that instead was called a false start. And then what happened? Well, instead of a situation where Oklahoma State gets the offsides call and then can run down the clock in regulation to kick a field goal, they get instead a false start. It gets moved back. They kick a field goal, right? So they're okay there. But Arkansas got the ball back. They take it down. They kick a field goal. And then, of course, you go to overtime where the Cowboys end up winning the game. But here's my problem right now for Oklahoma State. Alan Bowman and the offensive line. I mean, Alan Bowman is not the kind of guy that you're going to sit there and say to yourself, hey, you know what? It's okay. He's going to be able to be mobile enough to get you through this game. That's not how I felt at all. At all. And Ollie Gordon was very mediocre in this game. 17 carries, under 50 yards. I mean, frankly, the Oklahoma State offense was hot garbage for most of this game. It was. And I know you're going to look at the box score and be like, how's that possible? They had 39 points. Okay, here's the number. If you want to look at a box score number that tells you the story of this game, here's the number. Arkansas had 648 total yards of offense. Oklahoma State had 385. Oklahoma State was outgained on the ground, 232-59. What more do you need? That is the story right there for Oklahoma State. They did not look like a team that is capable of winning a Big 12 conference championship. I have major concerns on both sides for the Cowboys going up against Utah coming up in a couple of weeks. They have got to get their act together before that Utah game because it is less than a couple of weeks away. And I'm telling you right now, I mean, that Utah D-line is going to have a field day if the Pokes don't figure things out and figure things out real fast. But you're 2-0, you're happy about it, you move on. But all in all, that was pretty ugly. Now, the other game that was ugly but turned around for the Big 12 was Kansas State beating Tulane 34-27. And let's get right to the controversy at the end. I hate to break it to Tulane, but that is quintessential offensive pass interference. I mean, if you are looking up offensive pass interference in the dictionary, it's that play at the end of regulation for Tulane. I know you're like, oh, do you really call that penalty in that spot? Yeah, you do, because that's the reason they scored a touchdown. So, yes, you do call that penalty in that spot. Sorry, Tulane fans. I mean, listen, you guys blew a double-digit lead at home. Okay, that's what happened. And when you look at it, let's not forget that a fumble return for a touchdown is what ultimately gave Kansas State the win. So there are a lot of things that Tulane can look at and say that was a missed opportunity, this was a missed opportunity. Now for Kansas State, I'm looking at it and I'm saying Avery Johnson had some really good plays, but also he does look like a first-year starter. And it's why I have my questions about Kansas State for the rest of the season. I'm wondering, now, can Avery get significantly better? Can he be a different guy in November than he is today? Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But it's one of the reasons I have my questions and concerns as to what the ceiling is for this team this year. And you saw some of that on display yesterday in that Tulane game. And, you know, listen, you look at it as well, that Kansas State secondary was far from lights out against Tulane. So what does that mean going forward when the offenses get better in the Big 12 and you're playing teams like West Virginia, you know, Iowa State, Oklahoma State? It's going to be a different beast when it comes to that secondary and what it's going to look like when you get to Big 12 conference play. Because, boy, they made that Tulane quarterback look like he was freaking Patrick Mahomes out there at times. I was like, this guy, I'm not saying he's not good, but man, you guys are making him look a heck of a lot better than he is right now. Their top receiver was Mario Williams, and my goodness, guy had a field day, 128 yards, averaged 21 yards a catch. Unbelievable. But Kansas State ekes out the victory. And if you're a K-State fan, hey, you lost to Tulane last year, you're better off than you were at this point a year ago, and you're 2-0. But the one that really burnt me early in the day, the other 11 a.m. kickoff, was Cincinnati. What an embarrassing loss for Cincinnati. My goodness. I mean, Cincinnati's at home playing a bad Pittsburgh team. You are dominating the game. You're up 17-3 in the first half. In the second half, you're up 27-6. And you lose the game 28-27. You know, my lock of the week was Cincinnati minus two. And at one point, they're up 24-6. And honestly, I just started flipping back and forth between OSU, Arkansas, and K-State Tulane. I'm like, well, Cincinnati's got that one in the bag. And then the Heartland guys are texting me. They're like, hey, whoa, Cincinnati's about to soil themselves. And I'm like, what do you mean? It was like 24-6 a half hour ago. And this is the game that if you're a Cincinnati fan, you question what you have in Scott Satterfield. And I have never bought into Scott Satterfield. I thought it was a terrible hire. He was mediocre at Louisville, and it's like, let's make a lateral move with a guy who hasn't really won at a place like Louisville yet. What is that hire all about? And then the way you blow a game like this on Saturday, that's a game that puts you on the hot seat if you're Scott Satterfield. And he's complaining about the refs and this and that. And yes, you want to complain about the delay game on the defense on that third and four on Pittsburgh's game-winning drive? Okay, I'll give you that. I really will give you that. That was a bogus BS call. A defensive, you heard that right, defensive delay of game penalty on Cincinnati gave Pittsburgh the first down, kept that game-winning drive alive for the Panthers. But it should have never gotten to that point, man. That's what you got to understand. You don't blow a 27-6 lead in the second half and then do nothing but blame the officials for that. You got to look in the mirror if you're Scott Satterfield. That is absolutely horrible. So that is a program-changing defeat for Scott Satterfield. That's what that is. And I don't know what's next in terms of, you know, what the rest of the season looks like for Cincinnati, but it literally went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I thought the crowd was going to be into it because Pittsburgh was talking a little smack. I thought that having Corleone back was going to be a big deal. He had a great game for Cincinnati returning from blood clots. I thought the offense was going to be humming against a mediocre Pitt defense. Pitt didn't have its top rushing attack or running back, but actually they did okay in the run game. But it just was all working out. And then Cincinnati just crapped themselves. There's no other way to put it. It was horrible. So after the 11 a.m. games, the Big 12 is 2-1, and I was ready for a shower at that point. I mean, that was a freaking circus of an 11. I guess I should say what time zone. I'm in Kansas City, so when I say 11 a.m., I'm talking about, of course, the Central time zone kicks. But now that we've got Big 12 fans East Coast, you know, we've got Big 12 fans out West, we're all over the place. But when I talk 11 a.m., I'm saying those, you know, those first games on Saturday. So we get off to that kind of a start. It's like, okay, all right, we're going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're 2-1. Should have been 3-0, but we're 2-1. Then we roll through the afternoon, and you get an absolutely insane Cy-Hawk game, one of the all-time great games that you're going to watch if you're an Iowa State fan or if you're a college football fan in general. Iowa State was overmatched. Iowa State was down 13-0 and did not look like it belonged on the field with Iowa in that first half. And let's be honest, there were conversations being had about whether or not Matt Campbell was ever going to take this game seriously. Not that he didn't take it seriously, but like we know that Matt Campbell's teams ascend. Right? They get significantly better as the season goes on. That's what they do. That being said, at some point, you got to have yourself a little more engaged with this game in particular. And they did not look engaged at all. The offense was garbage. Defense held its own. Bad special teams in the first half as well. It was everything that Matt Campbell has been criticized for in a nutshell in the first 30 minutes. Bad special teams, a team that was not playing well offensively, and the defense was only going to do so much. and it was a September game against Iowa, and they're just never really in that game like they should be. I mean, they're in it, but you get what I'm saying. They're always making Iowa out to be freaking, you know, the 1985 Bears, it seems like. So the second half starts, and what does Iowa do? Iowa State opens up the playbook. Iowa State realizes that, Iowa's got a great front seven, outstanding linebacking core. What do we need to do? We need to get it over the top. We need to use our talent at wide receiver and at quarterback and trust Rocco Becht to be the guy who can win us this game, and that's what they did. You've got arguably the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the Big 12 in Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. Throw the ball to him. At one point, I put up on X in the second half, I don't want to see Iowa State run the ball again. I don't want to see this team run the ball again. Pass, pass, pass. Get it downfield. That's all you got to do. And once they started doing that, suddenly the game changed. And it changed very quickly for the Iowa State Cyclones. And then, of course, late in the game, 54-yard field goal from your freshman kicker gives Iowa State the 20-19 win and a victory in this rivalry for the second time in the past 3 years, and completely changing the conversation for Matt Campbell, from Iowa State fans, and from all of Cyclone Nation. And you know what? You've got to, at some point, trust your quarterback. And Rocco Becht, I get it last year, not fully trusting him. He was, you know, a first-year starter who had not played in a game of this magnitude. You bring in guys like Rocco Becht who are highly recruited, and eventually you got to let them sling it, especially when that's your only chance to win the game. And that's finally what Iowa State started doing in that second half, and it played massive dividends for them, and they end up coming back to win that game. And just how rare was that loss for Iowa on Saturday? The last time Iowa blew a second-half double-digit lead was 10 years ago against Nebraska back in 2014. That's how rare that outcome was yesterday. Absolutely unbelievable. And if you are not on our Instagram page, check out our Instagram page. Just search Heartland College Sports and follow us on Instagram. You will see a little video we put together of the Iowa Hawkeyes radio call with a movie favorite. I'll put it that way. We dubbed that together and put it up on our Instagram page. Find us and follow us on Instagram at Heartland College Sports. So at that time, you know, the Big 12 is 3-1 in their key games on the day. But then things started to go downhill. And I'm not going to count Baylor, Utah, because that was like a non-conference but a Big 12 game. Here's what I'll say about that game. First off, both quarterbacks are injured. It looks like both are minor, but Cam Rising left with a finger injury. Daquan Finn for Baylor left with a arm injury. And to me, that game was over. I mean, it was really an ugly game. But that game was over very quickly, it felt like to me. Utah jumps out to a 14-0 lead, 17-0 lead, right? And then, poor Baylor. I mean, you know, they're going to go for it on like a fourth and four from the Utah. Yeah, they were inside the 30-yard line. They were going to go for it on a fourth and four. They're down 17-0. Dave Aranda's like, whatever, I'm not going to kick a field goal here. I'm here to win the game. Good for him. That's the right move. They get a false start, and then what happens? Utah blocks a field goal attempt because at that point it's 4th-and-9. You can't really go for it. So Baylor's like, whatever, we'll kick the field goal. And what happens? The field goal gets blocked. Utah returns it for a touchdown. It's 23-0, and it's basically game over. Baylor did put some points on the board. Utah did not after that. Rising left the game, and Zach Wilson's brother came in as the backup. I guess he's a former four-star guy, Isaac Wilson, but I can't say I saw a lot that makes me think that Utah can compete at a high level without Cam Rising at quarterback.
If people are dieting now more than ever before,
then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But not a lot to take away from. So the Big 12 is 3-1 as of mid-afternoon on Saturday against Power 5 competition. Power 4 competition plus Tulane, who's a very good team. But then the wheels start to fall off a little bit. Kansas loses to Illinois. And I'll tell you right now, I was not high on Kansas before the season. There were a lot of KU football fans who ragged me and jumped on me because I did not think this team was going to meet the expectations that a lot of you had for them. And I still don't. And guess what? Saturday was an example of why. Saturday was an example of why I see KU going 4-5 in Big 12 play this year, while other people were projecting them to be 11-1 overall. The Jalen Daniels hype train has always been overblown. It has. Yeah, he looks great when he's healthy and when he's playing freely and he's on the move and he's slinging the ball down the field. He looks great. But guess what? He was the problem on Saturday in that loss to Illinois. The play calling stunk. Jeff Grimes, it's fair to question what exactly he's doing right now, what his game plan is. Devin Neal should have been getting the ball a heck of a lot more than he was. And instead, Jalen Daniels had four turnovers. And instead of calling him JD 6, it might be time to call him JD Pick 6. He threw one. He had three interceptions, had a fumble. I mean, it was a bad day all around for the Kansas Jayhawks quarterback. And I'm watching this game, and I'm like, this is not the guy who ultimately is going to end up, you know, leading KU to the promised land. He just doesn't look like the guy from early last season or a couple of years ago. And I don't know if he's injured and we don't know about it. I don't know. All I know is this much. That team is not going to compete at the top of the conference. It's not. There's no way. From what you saw on Saturday, that team is going to be able to compete at the top of the Big 12. I don't see how it's at all possible. Do you? Because I don't. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. And then they end up losing to Illinois in just a game that, frankly, they should have won. They were 5-point favorites. But Illinois held them in check, and KU hurt itself. Devin Neal had over 100 yards rushing on 14 carries. 7.2 yards a carry, right? He should have had 30 carries in this game. They should have ridden Devin Neal in this game and Daniel Highshaw. And instead, it's like, let's have Jalen Daniels bombing it 32 times. And by the way, his QBR was a 32. 32! I mean, that's horrific. So, you know, I hope they can turn it around, but there's a lot of question marks around this KU team right now, and that was a disappointing loss. And then there was maybe the worst loss of the day in the Big 12, and that was Nebraska-Colorado. Nebraska winning 28-10, and you might look at the score and say, oh, okay, that's not terrible. It was over, all right? I mean, Deion can talk all he wants about how we outscored him 10-0 in the second half, and fine, they had a decent second half, but come on now. Are you kidding me? It was 28-0, the blink of an eye, and the game was over. And for all the talk about Colorado fixing the issues from last year, the offensive line's a mess. I mean, both lines of scrimmage are a mess. But the offensive line is especially a mess. They gave up 6 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. They had 16 rushing yards. I think they had minus 27 rushing yards after the first quarter. Something insane like that. That was horrible. You can't win at this level with a great quarterback, who I don't even know if he's great, but a really good quarterback, and a star player who can play wide receiver and cornerback. I mean, it's all flash. And yes, there's value to having a Shedeur Sanders. It's amazing to have Travis Hunter, who might be the best player in college football. But this is not basketball. You can't do it with one guy. You can't have one superstar. It's 11-on-11. And if you don't have the guys in the trenches, what are you going to do? And I'll tell you right now, when you look at this team, I just see mess written all over it. Shedeur's walking off the field late in the game with 2 minutes left. It's not clear he's got any kind of an injury. He's rolling the offensive line under the bus after the game when he says, basically, well, how many times was the Colorado defensive line all over Raiola, the Nebraska quarterback, implying he had a much better protection scheme than I had? It's like, dude, come on. That's not what leadership is. You want to be a number one pick in the NFL draft? You got to sack up, man. You got to do a better job as a leader. There's a lot of guys with a lot of skills, a lot of guys who can throw the ball downfield, who've got great pocket awareness and mobility and can, you know, hit a guy in a 15-yard out route, slant, whatever it might be. A lot of guys can do that. What kind of leader are you? I'm telling you, if I'm an NFL scout and I need a quarterback and my potential quarterback walks off the field with his team getting smoked with 2 minutes left just because, I cross him right off the list. Now, maybe I have missed something on why he was walking off the field and what exactly, you know, that was all about. But it's a horrible look. On YouTube, infamous frontrunner writes, Mundo just wants a dump on Sanders as a journalist. No, I don't. I'm just doing it as a college football guy. And I'm telling you right now, that's not the guy I want leading my team if he's walking out the field with 2 minutes left. That is just a terrible look. You know what leaders do? They put their arms around their guys. They don't throw them under the bus in the post game. I know some of you are going to say, well, it's easy to give Shadur a hard time. Well, stop making it easy. Okay? How about someone tell Shadur to stop making it easy to roll him under the bus? He's doing it to himself. He knows that every camera in that stadium is going to be on him the second he walks off that field. So why is he doing it? He's literally hurting his own draft stock. That's what he's doing. I'm not doing this to rag on him because I've got some bone to pick. I don't care. In fact, I was a massive Deion Sanders fan as a kid. I loved him with the Dallas Cowboys. And I still want Deion to do well at Colorado. Let me be very clear. Deion succeeding at Colorado is good for the Big 12. As a result, it's good for Heartland College Sports, this outlet that I own and operate. I want Deion to succeed here. If you want to make it personal, it is in my best interest for Deion to succeed here. So I'm not ragging on him or his kid because it brings me joy or it's good for me or anything like that. It's not. But he gives you no choice. And it's all self-inflicted wounds. Every single one of these things are self-inflicted wounds. This is not a guy with bad body language who, like, you know, there's kind of a gray area there. This guy who's walking off the field, walking off from his teammates, implying it's his offensive line's fault they didn't play a good game offensively. So Colorado got blasted at Nebraska, and that was not a good look for the Big 12 at all. And then you roll through the afternoon from there, and the other big games you had, Texas Tech losing at Washington State 37-16. Woof. Now, we found out before the game Taj Brooks was not going to play. But frankly, I'm not sure it would have mattered one iota. Think about Texas Tech. They are a couple of bad play calls by Abilene Christian away from being 0-2 on the season. And from there being serious question marks in Lubbock as to whether or not this coaching staff is the staff to get the job done. A couple of bad play calls by Abilene Christian away from that being the conversation. I'm glad it's not the conversation, but it's fair to say year three, Joey McGuire, fine, you don't have your starting running back, but you tell me how that Washington State game changes at all. If Taj Brooks is healthy. I mean, Baron Morton struggled mightily in any passes that were over 5 yards, it seemed like, and they just really never got it going. That game was, it felt like, here's how I was watching that game early on. And it's 14-3, right? And then, of course, you have just a terrible play in the second half where Josh Kelly fumbles it. It's, you know, recovered by Washington State. They go up 21-3. It might as well have been 41-3. That's how bad it felt like Texas Tech's offense was, that it would never get back into this game. There was just no chance at that point that Tech was going to compete here. And Joey McGuire can take the blame personally, as he did after the game. But at the same time, you look at this team and you say to yourself, okay, are they going to get to where they want to be this season? Can they get there? I don't like to overreact to a single game, but now you've just got this very rocky start to the season. And oh, by the way, this team's given up 90 points its first two games. And it's not like, you know, they're playing Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma teams from its heyday here. They've got North Texas this weekend, then Arizona State, then Cincinnati. The best thing for Texas Tech is that they do have three games they should be able to compete in. Now, Arizona State looks like one of the better teams in the Big 12 right now. But still, you've got a window here where Texas Tech's Big 12 schedule is actually lighter when you look at it. Arizona State, Cincinnati, at Arizona, who did not look good on Saturday night, and then home to Baylor. So the schedule is the best thing they've got going for them right now. Can Texas Tech take advantage? Can Joey McGuire start to turn this thing around? Hopefully for his sake, because dang, he's going to need it. Now, with that being said, the night capped off, with Arizona State going to 2-0, getting an SEC victory over Mississippi State, 30-23. And I'll tell you right now, we are only 2 weeks in, but this has been as fun of a team to follow and watch through 2 weeks as any in the Big 12. In fact, I would say the most fun team to follow in the Big 12. That's how awesome this has been over the first couple of weeks of the season. It's just been absolutely fantastic. And everything you like. I mean, the offense obviously has been a lot of fun to watch when you've got 262 rushing yards from Cam Scatabo. 262 rushing yards. My gosh. When you have a defense that is stepping up, holding Mississippi State to 82 total yards in the first half. They turn the ball over once, and the Sun Devils turn it into 6 points. 2.8 yards of play. Blake Shapen, former Baylor quarterback, looked hurried and lost at times for Mississippi State. I mean, that is just fantastic. And what does Kenny Dillingham tell ESPN at the end of the third quarter? He needs his team to finish. Finish, finish, finish. The dude's 34 years old. This team has been so much fun for the first couple of weeks. And suddenly, when you look at the Big 12, you say to yourself, why not Arizona State? Why can't this be a team that surprises in the Big 12? I'm not projecting them to win this league. They've got a very difficult schedule by Big 12 standards. But they're going to be in a lot of games that a lot of us didn't think they'd be in before the season began. And that is a testament to Kenny Dillingham. All week, he was kind of implying that his team was buying into some of the hype after one game against Wyoming. And these guys proved on Saturday that they are focused, they are locked in, and at least for another week, they are not buying into the hype. And now they've got a game, interesting game, Thursday night at Texas State, which is a tricky game. It's not the cakewalk that some people want to make it out to be. So Arizona State, man, what a story through the first couple of weeks. It's been a lot of fun. And the other game, power conference game I didn't mention, was BYU beating SMU on Friday night. And that's a big win. You know, BYU doing it with the defense, that's a big win for this team and a big game for this team. They haven't had a lot to hang their hats on the first couple of years in the Big 12. And while this is a non-conference game, when your defense dominates the way it did, when you allow 261 total yards and you only give up 3 third down attempts out of 16 tries, you've got to feel good. Because if you had told me BYU scores 18 points in this game, I say SMU covers and wins maybe by, or what was the spread? It was a pretty significant spread, I believe. Almost 2 touchdowns. I would have said BYU loses by double digits. So credit to Kalani Sitake and that team going on the road on a Friday night, getting a solid win, and just getting the kind of win that BYU needed as they go into year two in the Big 12 Conference. So all that being said, you look at this game and this weekend for the Big 12. And as I said, the Big 12 ideally would have gone 6-4 in these 10 major games that they had in week two of the non-conference. They went 5-5. BYU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, Arizona State won their games. The losers, Cincinnati, Colorado, Texas Tech, Houston, Kansas. And I'll tell you what as well, I haven't touched on this game yet. I'll do it in a second. The Cincinnati loss kills me. The Kansas loss is bad. Colorado and Texas Tech deserve to lose. And then there's Houston that gave Oklahoma a run for its money in that 16-12 defeat. Now, I picked Houston plus 29. My picks went 2-1 this weekend. If it wasn't for Cincinnati screwing the pooch, I would have been 3-0. I won Houston plus 28.5. I won the over on Iowa-Iowa State 35.5. And then I lost Cincinnati minus 2, which still is going to drive me nuts, I know, until like October. But Houston did in large part what I thought it could do, and that is keep Oklahoma's in offense in relative check. Remember, Oklahoma's got a new offense. Jeff Lebby's gone. You've got Seth Luttrell in there with a first-year starter. I wasn't sure if Houston... Now, if you told me Houston keeps OU to 16 points, okay, I didn't see that coming. But I thought they could keep him enough in check to cover the 28.5. And they were in the game late. But here's what I will say about Houston. Houston deserved to lose that game. Because when they had the ball late in regulation, down by 2 points at their own 5-yard line, to run, I mean, just a slow developing run play against an OU defensive line that has held you in check most of the game. You have a bad offensive line, as we've seen the first couple of weeks. You're inside your own five, and you run the slow developing, it wasn't a jet sweep, but just this terrible play that went nowhere on the handoff from Donovan Smith, and you end up giving OU 2 points on the safety. At that point, I was pulling for Houston, obviously, but I'm like, this team deserved to lose. Absolutely deserved to lose. But they cover the 28.5, and there are some positives that Willie Fritz can take out of that game. When you hang in there against a top 15 team in America 1 week after getting your doors blown off by UNLV. So that's the positives you take out of that. Now, for the other games, there were a handful of FCS games as well across the Big 12 schedule. Arizona was down 10-6 at halftime to Northern Arizona. Offensive line looks like it's going to be an issue for this Arizona team. And they're another team that I projected to finish more towards the middle of the pack in the Big 12. I love their skill positions. I had questions in the trenches. And you're starting to see some of that play out for this Arizona team against mediocre competition the last 2 weeks. West Virginia bouncing back, blowing out University of Albany, 49-14. UCF looked great against Sam Houston State, 45-14. TCU blast Long Island, 45-0. So the FCS games were a cakewalk for the most part. Arizona with a little bit of the scare, but that's exactly what you want to see if you are a Big 12 football fan. So all in all, a solid week for the Big 12. The Big 12 can still get two teams into the college football playoff if things break just right for them. I'm not projecting it right now, but if things break just right, this can be a very good year for the Big 12 conference moving forward. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Thank you for joining us. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you have not yet. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast as well, iTunes, Spotify. We are in all those places. We so appreciate you doing that, and we will talk to you soon. Big 12 football, college football is underway, and we will have you covered right here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.